Today is the 11th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Grateful to be here with you today as we do what we do every day. Gather together, move forward one step at a time through the entire Bible. With gratitude. Grateful to be here with you today. And we are, we're in different kinds of territories because we're in different sections of the Bible. We're in 1 Kings right now. We are with King Solomon and understanding who he is and his reign. We're also in the book of Acts, and we're kind of in Stephen's testimony. He's defending himself because he's been accused of blasphemy. He's one of the deacons of the early church, but his testimony is also giving us a bit of a review of all of the different stories that we have encountered since the beginning of the year. So that's kind of the lay of the land. Let's jump in. 1 Kings chapter 8. The sacred chest had been kept on Mount Zion, also known as the City of David. But Solomon decided to have the chest moved to the temple while everyone was in Jerusalem celebrating the Festival of Shelters during Ethanim, the 7th month of the year. Solomon called together the important leaders of Israel. Then the priests and the Levites carried to the temple the sacred chest, the sacred tent, and the objects used for worship. Solomon and a crowd of people stood in front of the chest and sacrificed more sheep and cattle than could be counted. The priests carried the chest into the most holy place and put it under the winged creatures, whose wings covered both the chest and the poles used for carrying it. The poles were so long that they could be seen from right outside the most holy place, but not from anywhere else, and they stayed there from then on. The only things kept in the chest were the two flat stones Moses had put there when the Lord made his agreement with the people of Israel at Mount Sinai after bringing them out of Egypt. Suddenly, a cloud filled the temple as the priests were leaving the most holy place. The Lord's glory was in the cloud, and the light from it was so bright that the priests could not stay inside to do their work. Then Solomon prayed, "O Lord, you said that you would live in a dark cloud. Now I have built a glorious temple where you can live forever." Solomon turned toward the people standing there. Then he blessed them and said, "Praise the Lord God of Israel. Long ago he brought his people out of Egypt. He did not choose a city from any tribe in Israel where his temple would be built, but he kept his promise to make my father David the king of Israel. So when David wanted to build a temple for the Lord God of Israel, the Lord said, 'It's good that you want to build a temple where I can be worshipped, but you're not the one to do it. Your son will build a temple to honor me.' The Lord has done what he promised. I am the king of Israel like my father, and I've built a temple for the Lord our God. I've also made a place in the temple for the sacred chest, and in that chest are the two flat stones on which is written the solemn agreement the Lord made with our ancestors when he led them out of Egypt." Solomon stood facing the altar with everyone standing behind him. Then he lifted his arms toward heaven and prayed, "Lord, God of Israel, no other God in heaven or on earth is like you. You never forget the agreement you made with your people, and you are loyal to anyone who faithfully obeys your teachings. My father David was your servant, and today you have kept every promise you made to him. Lord God of Israel, you promised my father that someone from his family would always be king of Israel if they do their best to obey you, just as he did. Please keep this promise you made to your servant David. There's not enough room in all of heaven for you, Lord God. How could you possibly live on earth in this temple I have built? But I ask you to answer my prayer. This is the temple where you have chosen to be worshipped. Please watch over it day and night and listen when I turn toward it and pray. I am your servant, and the people of Israel belong to you. So whenever any of us look toward this temple and pray, answer from your home in heaven and forgive our sins. Suppose someone accuses a person of a crime, and the accused has to stand in front of the altar in your temple and say, "I swear I am innocent." Listen from heaven and decide who is right. Then punish the guilty person and let the innocent one go free. Suppose your people Israel sin against you, and then an enemy defeats them. If they come to this temple and beg for forgiveness, listen from your home in heaven. Forgive them and bring them back to the land you gave their ancestors. Suppose your people sin against you and you punish them by holding back the rain. If they turn toward this temple and pray in your name and stop sinning, listen from your home in heaven and forgive them. The people of Israel are your servants, so teach them to live right. And please send rain on the land you gave them to be theirs forever. Sometimes the crops may dry up or rot or be eaten by locusts or grasshoppers, and your people will be starving. Sometimes enemies may surround their towns or your people will become sick with deadly diseases. Listen, when anyone in Israel truly feels sorry and sincerely prays with arms lifted toward your temple, you know what is in everyone's heart. So from your home in heaven, answer their prayers according to the way they live and what is in their hearts. Then your people will worship and obey you for as long as they live in the land you gave their ancestors. Foreigners will hear about you and your mighty power, and some of them will come to live among your people Israel. If any of them pray toward this temple, listen from your home in heaven and answer their prayers. Then everyone on earth will worship you, just like your people Israel. And they will know that I have built this temple to honor you. Our Lord, sometimes you will order your people to attack their enemies. Then your people will turn toward this temple I have built for you in your chosen city, and they will pray to you. Answer their prayers from heaven and give them victory. Everyone sins. But when your people sin against you, suppose you get angry enough to let their enemies drag them away to foreign countries. Later, they may feel sorry for what they did and ask your forgiveness. Answer them when they pray toward this temple I have built for you in your chosen city, here in this land you gave their ancestors. From your home in heaven, listen to their sincere prayers and do what they ask. Forgive your people no matter how much they have sinned against you. Make the enemies who defeated them be kind to them. Remember, they are the people you chose and rescued from Egypt that was like a blazing fire to them. I am your servant, and the people of Israel belong to you. So listen when any of us pray and cry out for your help. When you brought our ancestors out of Egypt, you told your servant Moses to say to them, "From all the people on earth, the Lord God has chosen you to be his very own." When Solomon finished his prayer at the altar, he was kneeling with his arms lifted toward heaven. He stood up, turned toward the people, blessed them and said loudly, "Praise the Lord! He has kept his promise and given us peace. Every good thing he promised to his servant Moses has happened. The Lord our God was with our ancestors to help them, and I pray that he will be with us and never abandon us. May the Lord help us obey him and follow all the laws and teachings he gave our ancestors. I pray that the Lord our God will remember my prayer day and night. May he help everyone in Israel each day in whatever way we need it. Then every nation will know that the Lord is the only true God. Obey the Lord our God and follow his commands with all your heart, just as you are doing today." Solomon and the people dedicated the temple to the Lord by offering 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep as sacrifices to ask the Lord's blessing. On that day, Solomon dedicated the courtyard in front of the temple and made it acceptable for worship. He offered the sacrifices there because the bronze altar in front of the temple was too small. Solomon and the huge crowd celebrated the festival of shelters at the temple for 7 days. There were people from as far away as the Egyptian Gorge in the south and Lebo Hamath in the north. Then on the 8th day, he sent everyone home. They said goodbye and left, very happy because of all the good things the Lord had done for his servant David and his people Israel. Acts 7:51-8:13. "You stubborn and hard-headed people, you are always fighting against the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors did. Is there one prophet that your ancestors didn't mistreat? They killed the prophets who told about the coming of the one who obeys God. And now you have turned against him and killed him. Angels gave you God's law, but you still didn't obey it." When the council members heard Stephen's speech, they were angry and furious. But Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked toward heaven, where he saw our glorious God and Jesus standing at his right side. And Stephen said, "I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God." The council members shouted and covered their ears. At once they all attacked Stephen and dragged him out of the city. Then they started throwing stones at him. The men who had brought charges against him put their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. As Stephen was being stoned to death, he called out, "Lord Jesus, please welcome me." He knelt down and shouted, "Lord, don't blame them for what they have done." Then he died. Saul approved of the stoning of Stephen. Some faithful followers of the Lord buried Stephen and mourned very much for him. At that time, the church in Jerusalem suffered terribly. All of the Lord's followers, except the apostles, were scattered everywhere in Judea and Samaria. Saul started making a lot of trouble for the church. He went from house to house, arresting men and women and putting them in jail. The Lord's followers who had been scattered went from place to place, telling the good news. Philip went to the city of Samaria and told the people about Christ. They crowded around Philip because they were eager to hear what he was saying and to see him work miracles. Many people with evil spirits were healed, and the spirits went out of them with a shout. A lot of paralyzed and lame people were also healed. Everyone in that city was very glad because of what was happening. For some time, a man named Simon had lived there and had amazed the people of Samaria. He practiced witchcraft and claimed to be somebody great. Everyone, rich and poor, crowded around him. They said, "This man is the power of God, called the Great Power." For a long time, Simon had used witchcraft to amaze the people, and they kept crowding around him. But when they believed what Philip was saying about God's kingdom and about the name of Jesus Christ, they were all baptized. Even Simon believed and was baptized. He stayed close to Philip because he marveled at all the miracles and wonders. Psalm 129, a prayer for protection, a song for worship. Since the time I was young, enemies have often attacked. Let everyone in Israel say, "Since the time I was young, enemies have often attacked. But they have not defeated me, though my back is like a field that has just been plowed. The Lord always does right, and he has set me free from the ropes of those cruel people. I pray that all who hate the city of Zion will be made ashamed and forced to turn and run. May they be like grass on the flat roof of a house, grass that dries up as soon as it sprouts. Don't let them be like wheat gathered in bundles, and don't let anyone who passes by say to them, 'The Lord bless you. I give you my blessing in the name of the Lord.'" Proverbs 17:1. A dry crust of bread eaten in peace and quiet is better than a feast eaten where everyone argues. Okay, some really big things. Really big things, Old and New Testaments today. So, in 1 Kings, we see the dedication of the first temple, this first permanent place in Jerusalem, this icon of the Jewish people, this place where the name of the Lord dwells for them, and all of the celebration, all of the pageantry, everything around that, the prayers of the king, the admonition and blessing of the king, the Ark of the Covenant that had traveled so far all the way through the wilderness with the children of Israel, is placed in the most holy place within the temple. And the presence of God descends upon it. And King Solomon praises and dedicates this place and asks the Lord reverently that whenever prayers are prayed toward it, that God might hear, that God might be merciful, that God might answer his people. Let's enjoy this moment. We have worked from the beginning of the year to tell the story that gets us to this place, and this is kind of an inauguration of what is the apex of ancient Israel's existence and the true bountifulness of their culture at this time. And it's taken a long way, all the way from Abraham, to get to this place in the early reign of Solomon. And man, let's enjoy it, because they don't stay at the apex for long. So let's enjoy that we got here as we move forward in the books of Kings. Then in the book of Acts, we've reached the end of Stephen's testimony before the high council, who have accused him of blasphemy. And something else really dark but very monumental happens. The first recorded martyrdom in the name or because of the name of Jesus. So Stephen concludes his testimony, telling the Hebrew story, telling his own story, but he concludes connecting Jesus to that story and suggests that the people are culpable in the death of Jesus, like betraying God. And that enraged the people. Pretty significantly, the Bible tells us they covered their ears like to not hear him and started screaming at him and attacked him and dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. And that rage spread out toward anybody who confessed Jesus who was in Jerusalem. And so people are being dragged out of their houses at this point. And they're spreading out. And that is one of the ways that the gospel spread. They're fleeing to other places. And as they go and flee, the gospel is going with them. And there was a Pharisee that we heard about today. His name was Saul. And he's a ringleader in this persecution that takes place. But his attempts, because it was indeed his mission to stamp out the name of Jesus, to wipe it from the earth, and to remove it from the Jewish people and identity. And all of his attempts just had the opposite effect. And the good news spread all over the world from this point. And we're the recipients of that. And we can often just take it so easily and so lightly and so freely and forget that it cost blood, like lives to get it here. And Stephen is the first in that story of the ongoing work as we move through the Acts of the Apostles. What comes next after Jesus? And so often we live with this posture that we are the recipients of that, not the participants in it. So often, like, we're looking for the benefits of it all and not the cost as well. But the transformation that happens from within that makes the cost nothing. Even the cost of our lives. And so we're seeing monumental things, but we're also seeing the flashpoint of how things began to spread and continue to spread and how they got to us. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another day, another opportunity to ponder, another opportunity to consider. And we do. And we take these things to heart. Because there's no mystery about how difficult it can be to walk a narrow path. It's just that we want to claim a narrow path and walk a wide one and justify so many things. When this came to us at the price of lives that brought it here. And postures are given to us. What it is supposed to look like, even Proverbs today. A dry crust of bread eaten in peace and quiet is better than a feast eaten where everyone argues. So Holy Spirit, these things, we can read them for everybody else, but they are for us. And so we open our hearts, how we are to conduct ourselves, not how we are to control everybody else's behaviors, ours. And so with humility, we are grateful. Invite your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is also available, and that is home base, and a lot more than home base. It's like the home base. So be familiar, check it out, be connected, stay connected. Always, but especially as we're celebrating the 20th year and different things are going on. And so one of the things that are going on is we've released another song, another piece of the story of how it is that we got to this 20th year. And Jill and I shared pretty vulnerably about some things last week on Friday, which was the 6th of June. If you've had a chance to check that out yet, please do. But that kind of brought us to the next musical. I don't know if they're statements. They're just, I guess we're reclaiming some territory and really revisiting how it is that we've gotten here and just imagining how it's been 20 years. And so a new song, Love Will Not Care, was released on Friday. And it's just still kind of, there's been some really, really, really beautiful feedback, and so thank you, and keep that coming. Just the way that some of these songs have touched different places in different stories in different contexts has been really, really encouraging. But I sang Love Will Not Care. It's a song that I wrote so long ago, before Jill and I ever got married, for her. And just realized, man, that there are words I needed to say then. There are words I need to say now. There are words I need to hear. And they are words that we all need to hear. Words that we all need to hear from those that we love. Those that we need to hear from God. And so I hope you will check that out. Love Will Not Care can be heard anywhere that you can stream music, wherever that may be, whatever platform you are using. And so please do, and when you do, let me know. Let me know your story. Is the most fulfilling, rewarding thing for a creative is to understand the connection that happens because of that. So check it out anywhere you can listen to music. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you deeply, humbly, profoundly, with absolute gratitude as we're getting into the summer months. Thank you for your continued partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth in Delaware calling in. And I just heard about a prayer request for Cindy in Wisconsin, whose son Dalton is just recently been incarcerated and is needing prayers. And there are many men and women like him who have found themselves in a dark place, Lord. And we ask that you would especially bless and protect all these men and women who are incarcerated, Lord, and that you would give them new eyes to see and a heart to obey. And Lord, that they would see your love for them in spite of the darkness. Transform their hearts and give them new eyes to see you, Lord, and how you are transforming them in jail. Lord, bless them with Christian brothers and sisters in jail. And Lord, use mightily all those who knew Samson Ellis and Clarence Daniel, who became ministers to those in jail. Lord, will you bless all those people whose job and desire is to be a blessing to their fellow inmates in jail. We ask you to lift up James Kyle Withner, who's in North Carolina, Lord. And we ask you to change his heart, Lord, so that he would see your love and he would desire to serve you and help others in jail. Open his eyes, Lord, and his heart to you. Open up the prison populations, Lord, and so that they can love you and be used by you in spite of being in jail. Fill them and their families with your peace and wisdom as only you can, Jesus. And as it says in your word, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. John 12:46. And lastly, remember John 16:33, when Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for touching these men and women in jail and their family members. Fill them with your peace as only you can. God bless you all. Love, Beth.
Hello, my DEP family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, we are so grateful for your presence in our lives. Thank you that we can always turn to you when we are in need. In everything, you are with us. Father, because nothing that occurs in our lives goes without your notice, we can be sure that we are never without hope. You have also given us the assurance that you are always working all things together for our good. This great promise is an anchor to our hope. We know your love endures forever. We know that nothing is impossible with you. We know that if you are for us, nothing can stand against us. Thank you. We ask that your Holy Spirit guide us in all things. We rest on your word with the assurance of your love. Today, help us to know your blessings and promises, and let us be a blessing to everyone we meet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hi, it's Heather in Tennessee. I'm trying to sound more happy because that attitude is a good place to start. Is attitude of rejoicing and thankfulness, gratefulness. And I thank you for this platform, for the prayers. I'm praying for Anonymous in California. Lord, he's such a faithful man, praying for other people while he is going through such heartache. I'm just, like with my daughter R in Washington, I have to believe that whatever God has, he will be glorified. And I pray this in your situation as well, that we don't know the end. Well, we know the end. Jesus wins. God wins. But it's so hard when you're going through it. And I agree. It's just painful. And I'm praying for you. I want to lift up Blind Tony and KSD and Delta Alpha Foxtrot. Pray for Sparky and his wife and his children. Lord, I'm so thankful. Pray for California. I'm originally from California. I've only lived in Tennessee for about 15 years, but so much going on, and I'm lifting it all up to God and praising him for just this season of growth and renewal, love and safety. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi, Laura Lee. On June the 8th, you sent such a heartfelt, appreciative message to all dabbers that can totally relate with the gratitude that you have inside your heart. That was beautiful. Thank you, sister, for sharing that. I would like to say I am sorry for you losing your mom, but God has given you a gift to be with her for 11 years, and that is a beautiful thing. I took care of my mom for 18 years, And every single day I miss her. But every single day the Lord shows me how good he was to give me those challenges and those chores and just the different things that we walk through as daughters with our moms. And I am encouraged for you because you will have that gift into eternity. I love the way the Lord works with us, and I especially appreciate the way he's working with your heart of gratitude. And it humbled me to hear you so contrite and so appreciative to Brian and the team and all the rest of the Dabbers. So I want to pray for you, Laura Lee. Father, I lift her up to you today. May she be strengthened by the power of your Holy Spirit. May she know that you are more real than the very first day she said yes to you 20 years ago. I praise you for her life and for the life that you have in the future for her. May she continue strong. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you. Bye-bye.